Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And today I'm sharing an excerpt from the audiobook of The Space Within, and it's from a chapter called The Peace of Mind.
As I've continued to look in this direction over the past number of years, I've become clearer and clearer that the difference that makes the difference in the quality of our life and the level of our effectiveness in the world is less to do with having a quiet mind than with what shows up in that space of quiet. Or to put it another way, there is a world of difference between experiencing an absence of thought and the presence of mind. When I allow myself to go beyond the relief of a quiet mind and rest in the mystery and presence of a larger divine mind, it feels like coming home. The world begins to make sense again. My love for and faith in humanity grow, and I get to experience a level of peace in the midst of the chaos that allows me to embrace the richness of life in a way that the younger me who just wanted to be happy could never have imagined. This peace is, as best I can tell, our birthright as human beings. And the kindness of the design is that all we ever need to do to claim it is to look in this direction and to see it for ourselves. In order to better understand what this profound sense of peace really is and where it comes from, let's take a look at four different things that people tend to mean when they use the phrase peace of mind. 1. The absence of conflict. As long as no one's upset with me, I will have peace of mind. At a very basic level, peace of mind looks like the absence of conflict. So if we want to experience more of it, we need to either get better at conflict management or simply avoid conflict altogether. People who equate peace of mind with an absence of conflict might think of themselves as peacemakers. But as often as not, they're really just avoiders of conflict. Think Neville Chamberlain before World War II, or a long-suffering spouse who puts up with all sorts of abusive behavior from their partner in hopes of a quiet life. Not only does this overly conciliatory, head-in-the-sand attitude tend to create more conflict than it avoids, it also keeps our head filled with boatloads of thought about what we mustn't do or say, which in turn eliminates any chance we might have of actually experiencing peace of mind in the first place. Which is why at some point, most people start to realize that absence of conflict is less important than... 2. The constancy of circumstance. As long as my job, marriage, health, finances are secure, I will have peace of mind. While people who equate peace of mind with absence of conflict move away from what they don't want, people who equate it with constancy of circumstance move toward creating and maintaining the life circumstances they think they need in order to feel relaxed and content. Though they may think of themselves as go-getters or high achievers, people chasing constancy of circumstance might more accurately be called plate spinners or even rat racers. Think Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman or any supermom who tries to bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and make sure her children have high test scores and early entrance into top universities while never letting her husband forget he's a man. Not only is it virtually impossible to sustain peace of mind in every area of our life when we're chasing it from the outside in, but the stress of needing circumstances to conform to our will in a world where life seems to have a mind of its own often takes us further away from peace of mind than we were when we started. Which is why at some point, it's quite common for people to begin to realize that constancy of circumstance is less important than... 3. The absence of thought. As long as I don't have too much thinking going on, I'll have peace of mind. When people make the shift from trying to create peace of mind through external strategies to creating it through quieting thought, life starts to get easier. Because as long as we don't have too much on our mind, we can handle conflict and changes in circumstance much better than your average bear. People who seek peace of mind by banishing thought are the meditators of the world. And as long as they sustain their practice, they tend to live healthier, longer, more creative lives than non-meditators. Rupert Murdoch, David Lynch, and Oprah Winfrey are some modern-day examples of high achievers who make time for daily meditation. But absence of thought can also lead to dullness of wits, and the difficulty for many people of maintaining their peace of mind in the 23 hours a day when they're not meditating can turn the practice into a chore. Those people who continue to meditate as a love to rather than a should are often those who've experienced 4. The peace of mind. Peace is the nature of mind. Mind is the formless energy and intelligence behind life, the life force that animates our world. It is everywhere and ever present, and it brings with it a feeling of being alive and a knowing that regardless of what's going on in our head or in our world, all is well. People who recognize that the peace of mind surrounds them find themselves dropping into states of meditation, gratitude, and love wherever they are and whatever is happening around them. Think Jesus, or the Buddha, or modern mystics like Sid Banks, the Dalai Lama, Byron Katie, and Eckhart Tolle. When we see that we live in a mind-made world and that we ourselves are of that same formless energy, the idea of having to do anything to experience peace of mind is as bizarre as the idea that a fish would have to do something to experience water. When you start to notice that the peace of mind is always present, it begins to fill your consciousness more and more of the time. Quite simply, the peace of mind is your true nature. You can never lose it because it's the very core of your being. As St. Francis of Assisi is reported to have said, "You are that which you are seeking." And the best thing about experiencing the peace of mind is that it's always available, regardless of who's disappointed in you, what they're disappointed about, and what you happen to be thinking about it at the time.